Lord, we have every right to be the happiest people on this earth because of the amazing grace that you have given us, the benefits that are afforded to us because of you. We recognize your presence in this meeting, Lord Jesus. And would you take a hold of us by the spirit of understanding and change us? Change us inside out. Speak by your holy word today to us. And thank you. Thank you that you're here. And thank you for changing the city. Thank you for changing our families. Thank you for healing our bodies. Thank you for filling your promise. Thank you that your promise to us is yes and amen. Lord, we've got a smile on our face this morning, but thank you that you've got one on yours. Everything is in your hands. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. You may take your seats. Guys, can you help me? I can't see down there. Is anyone familiar with that message? If you've done anything buying or selling on Facebook, you either send that message as your first one or you get it as your first one. And, you know, a year or so back, I was trying to obtain a new watch. The one I had in mind was a Garmin Fenix 6 or 7 Sapphire. It's a good watch. Did all my research, figured out the exact one I wanted, and went through the process. Well, I thought I'd try and get it used. Try Facebook Marketplace, the place of treasures. The old Trading Post. You used to have to go to the newsagent, buy the magazine, and now it's there. And sometimes, not during Lent, of course, but before going to bed, what bargains might be on there tonight? Anyway, I had about 3 attempts trying to buy this watch and all failed. One of them turned up, had the cash. It was like 8 o'clock at night or something. And the guy said, can you come around 7:30? Oh, you've got to put the kids down. And he pulls the watch out of the box. He had the box, he had all the things, and then points it to me, and there's a big scratch down the face of it. Not mentioned in the ad, not mentioned in the photos, and he has the straightest face. I'm like, mate, it's scratched. Oh, well, I could take some off it if you want. I was like, nah, no deal, I'm done. So I stopped. I took that as a word of the Lord, don't worry about the watch. 3 times, failed. I let it go. But I've sold a lot on Facebook, guitars and wetsuits and all sorts of things. Fishing reels, shoes, riding gear. Have you? Yeah. Of course, cameras. And I spend a lot of time thinking about the price when you're selling. You want it to be enticing. You want it to be cheap enough that they're going to be quick enough to respond straight away, but not too cheap, because you want to be able to knock a bit off to make them feel like they're getting a good deal. So anyway, you'd put a bit of thought in and take the photos and, you know, there's a bit of strategy, but every so often in response to your ad, you get a low offer. And so I had this gear up this week and what'd they say? Oh, would you take $650? Now, when I get a low offer, I take that as a rude comment. I don't know about you, but I find it very hard to respond in a polite way. So I have crafted a 2-word response every time I get a low offer and I don't think any more about it. It goes something like this. Not the best negotiation. Because potentially I could say, no, I won't take that, but I would take this. But sometimes it's already out before I have a chance to do anything. And so then we enter a bit of conversation. They come back and say, well, you know, all the best trying to sell it for that. And I'll say something like, well, I'll buy it for myself at that cheaper price that you offered anyway and keep it. I have a value in mind for my goods. They have a value in mind for what they want to pay. And somehow we need to meet in the middle. They want the best deal. I want to get the most I can. Anyway, it's still up there. I'll wait. I'm not going to sell too cheap. I'm happy to wait. When was the last time you tried to sell something? How did it go? Did someone buy it? Do you still have it? Did you get scammed? I was selling a car once, go through the negotiation, the price, all the messages backwards and forwards. And then when it comes to organizing the deal, they say something like this. Unfortunately, I'm working offshore on an oil rig and I'll have to send someone to do the business. And then straight away, you know, that's a common one. Car sales and... Or I'll only pay with Pay ID, something like that. Scams. Fake ads, wrong images, like the watch. Anyway, the adventures of buying and selling. And value. It brings us to our text today, Matthew 13, 44 to 46. Two very short parables, familiar to us all, the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. This is Jesus' words. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and then covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and he bought that pearl. Another question, have you ever stumbled across treasure? I got into gold fossicking for a little bit. And it dawned on me one day while I'm walking through a dry creek bed like Nankin Creek or something with a detector. Why am I messing in this dirt, finding horseshoes and nails? My family are at home. Like, it just felt like such a waste of time. And the treasure I have out of my efforts is a few specks of gold from Struck Oil that I found in a creek. And that was working hard for it too. It's in my bag. Should have, anyway. Or have you ever kicked your toe on a big nugget? Do you know one of the biggest nuggets found in this area in Kawarol? Thinking, when was it, 1936, a 12-year-old boy was walking through a paddock and he kicked a 7-kilo gold nugget. And within a day or two, another one was found as well. In today's prices, that's about 800K USD in value. Just sitting out there in Quarrel, in an empty block. If that was you, would you have the thought, well, if there's this one here, maybe there's more here. And it might entice you to do whatever you could to buy that whole little block. So whatever treasure is sitting there is yours. I'm sure that the treasure would pay for it in the end. So you might hide it, do whatever you can to buy it. We jump back to our text. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Who is the treasure you think Jesus is alluding to here? Himself. Jesus. The true treasure of value in our life. The treasure that once you open and you start looking at for the rest of your life, you will not exhaust. It will take your breath away. The things that are hidden in that treasure for those that get a hold of it and search for it. There is no limit to it, like the galaxies in space. Wisdom, healing, we were talking about earlier, knowledge, righteousness, grace, peace, the list goes on. And for all eternity, when we're with him, we'll continually be astounded at the treasure and the depths of who Jesus Christ is. It just keeps getting better. But according to the parable, it's sitting in a field. A field anyone can go to. Hidden from those not looking for it. What might the field represent? The gospel. Jesus. Hidden in the gospel, in the scriptures. But not hidden as in, hidden in a plain sense, in an ordinary sense. But to those who believe, it contains immeasurable value, as we're saying before, and perhaps increasing value to you, because as you see it, you realize you haven't seen enough. You know, as you learn more about the Lord and walk with him, you realize how much you don't actually even know. But then it draws you to want to know more. Back to our text, the one who found the treasure hidden and then in his joy sells all that he has and he buys that field. How could it be a joy to sell everything so you can have the treasure? How could that be a joy? You know, we enjoy walking to TK Maxx and seeing some great brand you like at some crazy price, and it feels like such a bargain, such a steal. Or some other shop, or Facebook, getting a good deal. But to those who know the Lord, the joy in letting go of things is because you see the value in him. And there's so much more there. But it's for those that, you know, start to look. It's also, the parable is also saying, I think, those that walk with the Lord and know, we must be willing to part with everything for the sake of him. No matter how nice things might be in this life, they are nothing compared to the riches and the glory of who he is. Like when he said, those who lose their life find it. So the process of you finding your life in him is letting go more of your life so you would have his life. Or like he says in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Self-denial. In thinking about this parable, it dawned on me that I'd often thought of it in the sense of like a one decision in my life to give him everything, or like a single moment of like, buy the field, give your life. But I think we need to also look at it in the way of it being the journey of the rest of our lives, is the purchasing of that field, is the day by day as we grow in knowledge of him, letting go of more of the things that seem to be the thing that we're holding on to, that we might have more of him. It may not be able to be measured and it's different for each person, but I think having a long-term view of surrender to him, Put it this way. When we buy a home, when we build a home, we borrow money from the bank and we spend years paying that back, but we've secured it. And somehow the work of a lifetime of us is practicing more and more self-denial. Hopefully another story helps you. At this week, Ezekiel asked the youth a question, and I present it to you. What would you prefer right now? $1 million cash transferred to your account instantly, or 1 minute with Jesus? You don't have to answer straight up, but think about it. And I know some of you want more context, but just surface level, just think about that. $1 million cash, you could do a lot with $1 million. You could build orphanages, you could, like, anything. Invest it, put it in the storehouse, or a minute with Jesus. One minute with Jesus potentially could change your life in a way, and has changed men and women's lives in a way more than $1 million has ever done. You think of heroes of the faith, that one minute encounter, and then they've done astounding things. And I think part of today is a realization of 1 minute with him matters. Sometimes it's possible to be like, oh, pray later, or I'll wait till the end of the day when I'm focused, and then, oh, it's the end of the day, and then another day, another day. But if you value a minute with him and see it as that 1 minute might change your life, I guarantee that minute's not going to stay a minute for very long. You'll start looking for twos and fives and 20s and half an hour. But if you don't value the minute, it becomes more about the thing you're doing. I'm reading, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing this for Lent. But the whole point of those things is Jesus. And so that question really struck me of starting to see, you know what, I'm going to start looking for minutes. Another minute with him. Whether it's in the shower, it's driving to work, those minutes matter. And you never know the light that might flood to you, some solution to a problem, something more you realize about him. The minutes matter. Because when you start seeing his value, more and more, you'll start looking for more and more minutes to be with him, to learn from him, to listen to him. He's already said a heap of stuff right here waiting for us. One of the things I was doing for Lent was banning scrolling. I just found, if you thought about my day or my week, sometimes when there was an empty few minutes, there was temptation to just go start scrolling feeds, whether it's news or whether it's Facebook, whether it's Marketplace. Stopped it. I haven't missed it. But I realized even doing something like that makes some space, but then you've got to be intentional about doing it for him, fitting something else in, seeking him more, resting in him more. Anyway, Paul put it like this in Philippians 3, 8 to 11. I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Worship team, please, you can come back. We're currently in Lent, 40 days leading into Easter, when many of us have decided to give up various things, and as David said, and practicing some form of self-denial, keep pressing into those things. And I think today, one of the things that we're being reminded of is to remember that the things that you're giving up. You know, the Pharisees got in trouble because they kept the outside of the cup clean, but the inside was what mattered. And so sometimes with these things, it's possible to tick a box and go, well, I'm going to fast this, I'm going to fast that, I'm going to do that. But at the end of everything, what matters is why you're doing it, and it's to find him, to see his value more. What are we to do? Can I encourage you to look for and value the minutes? The minutes you have with the Lord, value the time with him. You only have time to read one verse or one chapter. When you come to it, just rest in it and say, Lord, change me. Speak to me. Don't be so fixated on just reading for the sake of it. Would you consider practicing self-denial beyond Lent? If you find yourself lacking in seeing value in him, or it's not like a growing light to you, then perhaps continuing on saying, Lord, show me, what else should I give up? What else could I just remove from my life from a time so I might have more of you? A new TV season comes out. You might choose, I'm not going to watch it straight away. I'm going to replace that with fill in the dots. Practice self-denial. Another thing you can do is look for his invitations to you. He's really jealous for us, for our time, for our attention. And I'm pretty sure that if you thought back your week, there might be a moment here, a moment there that you know he was calling you to prayer. He was saying, he sent you a message. Hey, you want to hang out? I had one of these the other night, 11 o'clock at night. I felt like the Lord said, grab a coffee and meet me in the office. I repent, I didn't do it. I was like, I love coffee. But I'm like, Lord, you know what that means? Like, I could have a coffee at 9, maybe 10, but 11. But it's probably just enough to get you into the, you know, like it's a cost. Hopefully ask me again. I'm glad it happened. I had something to say right now to make the point that each of us, he's probably sent you messages this week. Are they sitting unread? Because it's not just that we spend time with him for us, but he wants to spend time with you. You remember the road to Emmaus? Their heart was burning within them. The guy left and they're like, actually, that was Jesus. It's kind of like that. There are moments where he wants to be really close to you, like it's something different to other times. Would you be more aware this week? Invitations will come from him to just sit, pray, or watch something different, turn it off, listen to different music, something. You'll know it's him. But let's be a people that when we see it coming, we would leave whatever we're doing because he is the one that matters. One final thought is, in the parable, the words stand out, "for the joy set before him." And that is what Christ did for us. "For the joy set before him, endured the cross." And so he himself has lived this life. And so thank you, Lord, that whilst we're not perfect, by grace, you've seen us through that lens. He gave up everything because he saw the greater value. And he calls us to do the same. I'll pray and the worship team will minister by song. And then if you wanted to respond today, you can, of course, please come respond to the Lord. But my encouragement to you is to keep pressing into him in this period and keep looking for those minutes. If you're here and you know you want to see that thing in the body budged, moved, released from it, come forward as well. John will pray. I think you need a healing, right-hand side. If you just feel like you want to respond to the Lord, come on this side. Lord Jesus, what an amazing life and blessing and gift it is to know you. And each of us in this room knows something. And before us is an invitation to walk with you so much more. Lord, would you take us by the hand afresh? Would you grant us the faith and the grace that when we hear your small voice, we respond? Would you grant us fresh boldness to be open and a powerful witness for you? And would you open our eyes through this land and beyond, month by month, in increasing measure, to see the riches of Christ and to see how much more beautiful, how much more worthy he is than all this earthly stuff. We love you, Lord. And I thank you that you enable us to live the life that we just can't live. So on behalf of us all, Lord, we lift our hands and we receive from you grace this day to walk all the more like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The team will minister. And then after that, we'll say the benediction and have another song. Thank you, team. We thank the Lord for what he's doing in lives all throughout this building. And there's still time today. If you feel a burning in your heart to respond, please do. There's still some people here getting prayer for healing. That's open as well. Just want to proclaim this benediction, and then from there, let's be sensitive. People are doing business with God, and the team will continue to minister, but we'll just say that the meeting is officially closed. The benediction comes from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. People of peace, be blessed. May you find him in increasing measure day by day. Amen.